With training camp now underway, we continue our position-by-position preview series with the defensive line. We're joined by Alex Patakis of Acme Packing Company to discuss Mike Daniels and his line mates. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the start of training camp now, the second day underway. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning.
Expert interview.
We have Alex Patakis of the Acme Packing Company podcast. Alex, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Brian. How are you? First, I wanted to just address a little rumor I saw on Twitter. Is it your birthday today?
It is my birthday. Thank you very much for...
Happy birthday. I'm honored to be able to do this on your birthday. I wish I would have got you something, but I saw that like 60 seconds ago.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Alex, before we kick things off here, just a kind of an introduction. Could you kind of describe the road you took to get to the Acme Packing Company podcast? Because I remember you doing some stuff with the ESPN Wisconsin outlet.
Sure. Yeah. So actually, yesterday was my 1 year anniversary of living in New York. So before that, I had lived in Milwaukee for 2 years working at ESPN Wisconsin. A little bit with, you know, Jason Wilde and obviously doing some radio stuff based out of Milwaukee. So I was doing that for a while and, you know, just kind of a lifestyle change. My significant other had gotten an opportunity to move out here. And also within a company that owns and operates ESPN Wisconsin, Good Karma Brands, I had an opportunity to move to New York. So I kind of took it. You know, I had always loved love New York. My roots are from here. I was born out here and family out here. So I kind of jumped at the opportunity knowing that I was at the sacrifice, you know, being able to talk about the Packers every day and, you know, days like yesterday that are so exciting when you wake up and you're on the air talking about the fact that there's football being played. But, you know, I was fortunate enough when I got out here to kind of talk to, you know, a lot of your buddies, my buddies now too, in the Packers blogosphere and do some writing and podcasting at PackersTalk.com, which I'm still doing. And then someone from named Zach, who you had on the other day, who actually lives out here in New York with me now too, he reached out about the opportunity to do the podcast for Acme Packing Company through SB Nation this year. So we kind of mobilized. We set up a little studio here in Manhattan, and we're just a bunch of transplanted Packers geeks who try to kind of feed our passion at least once a week. So that's kind of where we're at.
Well, I'm glad we could give you the opportunity to talk about the Packers today as well. And we're continuing our position-by-position preview series here, getting to the defensive side of the football with the defensive line today. So, Alex, let's dig in here. Will this finally be the year the rest of the league recognizes what Packers fans have already seen and Mike Daniels gets recognition as a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro? Is this the year?
It better be. I mean, you would think it would be, right? I mean, it's funny because, as you know, he plays on a really high-profile team. Obviously, that gets a ton of exposure, but most of it comes on the offensive side of the ball. He has so many like gifable plays, like things that he does that were like you'd be like, how is this guy on an internet sensation outside of just like Packers fandom? When he's just tossing guards and just like, you know, throwing offensive linemen into a running back to make a play. But I think it will be, and I think it needs to be for them because of how much experience they have on the defensive line. I mean, they really have three proven guys up there, him obviously being, Daniels being the most proven. So, you know, he's in his prime years. He's been dominant. he's going to be put in a position to succeed like he has been the past couple of years. He's the anchor of that defensive line and really probably the best player on that defense. I think Clay Matthews has kind of always gotten that rap. But if you really look at who's best at what they do on that defense, I think Mike Daniels is like leaps and bounds the leader. So hopefully the nation will take notice.
I would agree with you in terms of, you know, Clay Matthews. He's good, no doubt about it, but I think Mike Daniels kind of overtook him last year, at least for 1 year, as being the best player on the defense. But he's one veteran, another along the defensive line, LaTroy Guyon. Where do you think Guyon fits best? Is it as a nose tackle or that five technique defensive end? And how do you think he'll be used this year?
It's funny because with Guyon, like, to me, some of it hinges on what exactly they're going to end up doing with Kenny Clark and where Kenny Clark fits in, because I think there's no question about it in their base defense, at least going in with Mike Pennell facing a suspension, that, you know, their every down players, I guess you could say, or at least first and second down defensive linemen would be Daniels, Clark, you would hope, as long as he doesn't, you know, come in and kind of stink right away. And they were wrong to draft him, and Guyon. So however you arrange those guys, I've always kind of thought that Guyon was more of a five technique, kind of like a 3-4 defensive end type as opposed to a true nose tackle. But I think he might be forced to play there. I wish I had a better answer other than I don't really know. But again, I think some of it really depends on where they see Kenny Clark fitting in best on this defense and whether he is going to get any reps at nose or if he's going to be more of a five technique. So, interchangeably, I think Guyon and Clark are the two guys other than Mike Daniels who are, you know, starting in your base defense, where they choose to line them up. I guess, you know, that's what training camp's for. That's what we'll find out.
Yeah, I think they'll play it a lot by ear. I mean, just from the standpoint, too. I mean, if Kenny Clark gets injured, no matter what, I mean, LaTroy Guyon then is probably going to be the nose tackle. Not that we're hoping that happens or anything, but they have to have that flexibility. But speaking of Clark, I mean, what do you think his role will be his rookie season? And how much playing time do you think he'll see?
I mean, I think he's going to have the opportunity to be a starter right away, and I guess you would assume that for a couple of reasons, and one being obviously the investment level as a first-round pick, you know, two being, you know, playing in a really similar scheme in college at UCLA. But when I say that, I guess all of that was true of Dayton Jones as well, right? And he kind of had the opportunity, but had some, I know he was, like, hurt a little bit in his first training camp, and, you know, he wasn't really developing all that quickly. So I would like to say that Clark is going to have the opportunity to be a starter. And again, I think Mike Pennell's suspension plays into that, because outside of those four guys, right, first round pick and Clark, again, still a complete unknown. And then, you know, your starters in Guyon, Daniels, and Pennell, who has five starts under his belt in his NFL career, and at least you kind of know what he is. Everyone else is a complete and total question mark. So for that reason, I feel like Clark is gonna, you know, he's basically gonna have to play his way out of a lot of playing time, which obviously we all hope that he doesn't. So, I've read a lot about the terminology at UCLA being almost identical to Green Bay and it being kind of a natural fit, which is why I think in a situation where they knew their defensive line was going to be really thin, they kind of went back to that well to get a guy that they feel like they can play right away.
Yeah, obviously that's why they went defensive line in the first round. You alluded to Mike Pennell. Do you think his roster spot is in jeopardy at all given the suspension to start the season?
Yeah, again, I don't know what five NFL starts buys you, but I don't really think that he's in question just because of their situation specifically on the depth chart at defense. So I guess if we're not counting linebackers, right? So we're not counting Julius Peppers, we're not counting, Nick Perry, and we'll throw Dayton Jones in there. But counting Dayton Jones, they go to camp with 10 defensive linemen, right? Like guys would say that are true defensive linemen, not just a 3-4 edge rusher. Five of them are rookies, three of them are undrafted, and only four have ever appeared in an NFL game. Like, that's insane. Like, less than 50% of your position group has yet to play it down. And at this point right now, they've got like one training camp practice under their belt. So because, just simply being one of those guys who you know can be serviceable at this level, I think, I mean, I don't know what would have to happen to him in training camp for him to get cut. And that's just, I mean, maybe I'm reading this totally wrong, but I feel like he's someone who, unless multiple guys blow you away in training camp, is pretty much guaranteed a roster spot at this point, even with the suspension that he serves to them.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think Mike Pinnell's going to get a lot of playing time in the preseason, seeing as he's going to get a month off to start the season. They're going to get a lot of mileage out of him in like that fourth and fifth preseason game. I think he's going to be out there practically every snap. But we're talking to Alex Patakis of the Acme Packing Company podcast and PackersTalk.com here at Railbird Central on a Monday. It's a Wednesday morning. Do you think rookie Dean Lowry will be negatively impacted by missing much of the offseason program?
I don't really think so. First off, for some of these guys who missed the offseason program, that is one of the worst rules that's like ever been put into place, right?
I mean, agreed.
Can we agree that is ridiculous? Like, in this situation, Dean Lowry is basically being penalized and not afforded the opportunity to kind of dig into the books early because he went to a smarty pants school. Like, cool. So we know he's a smart guy, we think. So I would like to think he would catch on quickly, but I'm actually pretty excited about Lowry. For any, you know, Packers fans who don't follow him already, he's pretty much a must follow. But Justice Mosqueda, I know a Bleacher Report, is really high on Dean Lowry. And he, you know, Justice kind of does the force players thing, which is like a study he's been putting together since 2011. And what that does is basically just takes measurables like of athleticism, just like purely combine stats, and tries to, you know, kind of see how when guys break on a certain athletic threshold, that translates to the NFL. So it's all guys who are draft eligible, all guys are going to the combine, and over the course of, I guess it would be now like the last 5 years, there's very specific, like, measurables that guys meet that almost immediately translate to production in the NFL without that many exceptions. Dean Lowry randomly is like one of these guys. So Dean Lowry is randomly one of the handful of players who, you know, by that measure, would be considered what Justice calls a force player. So I'm going to kind of just lean on him because he knows more football than so many people, even though he's still extremely young. And I would like to think if Ted made that investment, he probably feels like he got a steal. I think Lowry has an opportunity, again, like we've been talking about, you know, we're previewing the defensive line, how thin they are, how inexperienced they are, to actually come in and make an impact right away if those kind of, you know, athletic, you know, measurables translate into success. So I'm pretty pumped about him. And I think that even having missed a couple of, you know, an early portion of the offseason, that he's got an opportunity here to kind of go on an accelerated track here to get the playing time. And I guess you would say more than late round picks usually would have on a team that's, you know, a favorite to win the division and being picked by a lot of people to, you know, probably go to the Super Bowl. So,
yeah, it'll be fun to watch him now that we actually have an opportunity to do so in training camp, seeing as he missed most of the offseason program. He was there for mini camp, I know, but yeah, it'll be fun to watch Lowry and the practice field these upcoming weeks. Another guy, where do you think Christian Ringo fits into the Packers' plans after spending a year on the practice squad a year ago and then being re-signed in the offseason?
Sure. I would think kind of like any of the other guys in that group of players who don't really have like true game experience but are still just giant question marks. You know, I think maybe being on the practice squad a year ago, in a year where I guess you could argue they had a little bit more depth on the defensive line, and they still felt it worth keeping him around, he's got a little bit of a leg up. But, you know, at this point in camp, I mean, there always seems to be one guy, maybe two guys, right, undrafted rookies or really late picks who just come on and really impress. I mean, that's kind of Ted Thompson's MO, right? He's really good at finding those guys, even if it is luck sometimes, just kind of looking your way into those guys. So Ringo's got to prove himself all over again because, you know, the practice squad a year ago, I don't think graced you a roster spot. Maybe it puts you at an advantage over some of the guys who are just trying to acclimate to, you know, NFL life right now, and how fast this thing is probably going to pick up in the next week or so with a game coming, Hall of Fame game coming in less than 2 weeks. But I still think Ringo's got to put together another great camp to even be, you know, kept around this year. But, you know, I guess he showed enough last summer for there to be a reason for us to be a little more optimistic about him than some of these other guys.
Yeah, everybody compares him to Mike Daniels, which is, you know, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. He may look like him from a size standpoint, but we got to see if he actually plays like him here. He'll have the opportunity to do so during the preseason. Alex, how much do you consider players like Julius Peppers and Dayton Jones to be part of the defensive line? Because while they're edge rushers, they still do act as interior pass rushers on occasion.
Yeah. Like I said before, I guess when we were trying to explain other portions of this position group, I was excluding them. That might be unfair because I think, you know, I guess in your base defense, which the Packers play, you know, less than 50% of the time, I wouldn't consider them part of the defensive line, but the Packers aren't in their base defense a lot. And, you know, Dom Capers is someone who's going to mix it up. Like you mentioned, they'll be, you know, interior pass rushers at times. There's going to be times where, you know, there's all of these guys, Guyon, Pennell, and stuff like that aren't on the field, and instead it's just a plethora of outside linebackers, you know, true linebackers and elephants, if we're still using that term this year. Although, didn't they do away with that, or am I making that up?
I think I still hear Mike McCarthy refer to the elephant position.
Yeah, I guess that's what Peppers and now Dayton Jones are. So I think it's, that's one of the beauties of this defense is that they now have a lot of players who, I guess, are versatile enough to fill multiple roles. But still, on running downs, and the few times they are in their base defense, you know, second and four, whatever it might be, I guess you wouldn't really factor them in, right? Because there's still that possibility that maybe their responsibility is going to call for them to be in coverage. So it's kind of hard, you know. It's one of the blessings of this defense is like trying to figure out exactly what people play, which is why we just made up the term elephant anyway. Yeah. Are the Packers the originators of the elephant? Obviously not in nature, but of that term. Like, where does that come from?
Oh, that dates back to, I think, like Charles Haley with the San Francisco 49ers or even with the Cowboys. I'm not sure. I think that's where it originated. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think it's a challenge for the coaching staff. Like, how do you practice these guys? How often do they practice with the linebackers? How often do they practice with the defensive line? I'm not really sure. That's something you might keep an eye on it at training camp if you're going out to practice to kind of look for things like that.
Right.
But Alex,
one of the things, you know, talking about interior rushers too, one of the things I hope we don't miss out on this year, I don't know about you, one of my favorite things to watch is the Clay Matthews interior rush. Like, I know you were kind of referring to Dayton and Peppers because of their body size, and Matthews started as an outside linebacker, and those guys have been true defensive ends at times, but how fun is when Clay Matthews bull rushes the center or guard? That's like one of my favorite things to watch happen on this defense.
Yeah, absolutely. I've kind of wondered myself how much he'll be doing that this year. Like, they say they're going to play him more at outside linebacker, but you know that doesn't exclude him from rushing from the inside occasionally. So another thing that'll be fun to watch. But Alex, of the team's undrafted rookies, and obviously you don't have to go on at length about these guys we don't know a ton about yet. Obviously they're brand new. But among Demetrius Anderson, Tyler Cooter, and Brian Price, do you have expectations for any of them?
I mean, not really. I mean, good thing for them. We've talked about this the entire time. There is plenty of opportunity, but at this point, I don't think it's fair to expect anything of these guys in the way of a 53-man roster spot. I don't think all three of them, obviously, would be kept out of the squad. I'm sure one of them will. As far as who, your guess is as good as mine. But maybe one of these guys will come on and be like that surprise player, the Sam Shields, that you so often get with these gems that Ted Thompson finds. I just don't right now, if you were asking me to pick like which one might be that guy, I've got no clue.
Yeah, I think that's something we discovered during the preseason once we see these guys in a game environment, actually. But last question before we let you go, Alex, seeing as we're talking about the defensive line, he's not with the Packers this year, but do you think we've seen the last of B.J. Raji, who said it's a temporary hiatus, or I'm not sure how you describe it even. Do you think we've seen the last of him?
I just don't really see who would want to go out of their way to bring in a guy who spent a year voluntarily out of football simply because he felt like it, like totally his own decision, maybe not health related. Maybe it sort of is, maybe his heart's not in it. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is, but what team would be, I think it would be different if B.J. Raji had put together, some amazing tape in 2015 and was kind of going out on top. And I think it would be different if B.J. Raji were an amazing player and this wasn't necessarily his decision or it were a suspension or it were an injury. But I think the first thing that anybody at the end of this year, if it's the Packers or even another team, would have to do is like really get a true understanding for why Raji just didn't feel like playing football in 2016, right? And like, I mean, from everything we hear, former players who are now analysts and current players, when they're, speaking in cliches at their locker, like, this is for, a better portion of your year, you have to devote everything you have. So, like, if you're B.J. Raji, I'm a general manager, I'm Ted Thompson, I'm sitting there, tell me on why it's worth bringing you back if I still have questions whether or not your heart's in it. So, again, I mean... Will there be a team that really needs to fill a hole if he does want to come back? I'm sure there will be an opportunity. He'll at least be in somebody's camp. But I'm not even sold that he's going to want to do that. And I'm not sold that just sitting out of football, and with few exceptions of guys who have proven to be great more than just in their rookie year, let's say, that's someone you would be want to take a chance on. So if I had to pick one way or the other right now, I'm going no. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I would tend to say no as well at this point, but I suppose that's a year off in the future here, at least till next off season. But Alex, thank you so much for joining us today, for helping me preview the defensive line. Greatly appreciate your insight and analysis here. What's up? What's on tap at the Acme Packing Company podcast?
Sure. So we're going to have some fun. Obviously, at this point of the year, a ton of things going on with training camp. We're also going to delve into a little bit of fantasy talk. We've got a Wisconsinite, Alex Gelhar of NFL.com, fantasy writer. He's going to be joining us this week. So we're really excited to get rolling and kind of getting that in-season rhythm of cranking out shows every week and trying to bring on some personalities and people who know more than us, so we could actually inform people as opposed to just like making a feeble attempt to entertain over the course of an hour once a week. We're excited about that.
Sounds good. We'll send people your way to listen to that podcast. Alex, Alex, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
Thanks for having me do it, Brian. I really appreciate it. And happy birthday. I hope after this you're going to go, like, kick up somewhere, enjoy the sun, have a drink, do your thing.
Sounds good. Take care, Alex.
Thanks.
Alex Patakis of the Acme Packing Company podcast, PackersTalk.com, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
All right, so we actually have football to talk about. Training camp has started and it's back. And since our last episode of Railbird Central, we've learned the six players that were placed on the PUP list to open camp. People have kind of had already 2 days to discuss about this, seeing as it kind of came out on Monday right after the Railbird Central podcast came out, but it's my first time to address it here. And this kind of came as a little bit of a surprise, seeing as Mike McCarthy, in one of his final press conferences, a mini camp, if you remember back, a month and a half, 2 months ago, he said that he could only think of maybe one player that would be limited heading into training camp. But then again, Mike McCarthy downplaying an injury situation probably should come as no surprise. The part that's a little bit alarming is that all six of these players are expected to be either starters or major contributors to this team. So these six players are wide receivers Jordy Nelson and Ty Montgomery, offensive lineman TJ Lang and Corey Linsley, tight end Jared Cook, and linebacker Sam Barrington. So, I mean, that's pretty much a list of some major contributors to this team. On the other hand, two guys that they didn't have patience with, the Packers released running back Don Jackson and defensive lineman B.J. McBride on the first day players report. Obviously, these guys probably failed physicals, and I know Don Jackson was with the non-injury designation, which means he probably got injured at some point away for during the off that period between mini camp and training camp, which I had heard somewhere like something a broken jaw. I can't even remember where I saw that right now. And I know Don Jackson had missed part of the offseason program as it was, so I'm not really sure on the whole story there. But anyway, the Packers now have 88 of a possible 90 roster spots open. But anyway, here, getting back to the PUP list, guys, for the most part, these are veterans that have been around the block before. So there is that kind of that a little bit of a silver lining. I think people are down when they hear, oh, six guys on the PUP list, but there is a silver lining, with the exception of maybe Ty Montgomery, who's in just his second year in the NFL. You'd like to see him, get back quickly, I think, and get him some training camp reps. And obviously, you'd like to see a new acquisition like Jared Cook get up to speed fairly quickly. But really, if these guys like Jordy Nelson and TJ Lang sit out the majority of training camp, that's not really a big deal at all. I think most people would agree they only need one or two preseason games to be ready. If that, I think people would be, I would be more than happy if Jordy Nelson didn't play in any preseason game and then just came out for the regular season opener. You'd like to get a little bit of practice at least, but I mean, with five preseason games this year instead of the usual four, that also kind of gives these guys on the PUP list 1 week of recovery and still get the usual amount of preparation for the season ahead. So I think that's another reason why the Packers were extra cautious here. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, really, if these guys come back in a week, any of them, I mean, they really haven't missed anything. Maybe they missed family night, and that's disappointing a little bit. But you got to keep the big picture in mind here that the regular season is what counts. And I mean, that's why it's a kind of an ongoing discussion for years whether the NFL preseason should be shortened. But speaking of Jordy Nelson specifically, we learned yesterday that the reason he's on the PUP list is not because of the surgically repaired ACL in his right knee. He revealed to reporters what he described as a quote unquote hiccup in his left knee and didn't think people needed to overreact. So I guess I'm more comfortable when a player downplays an injury compared to Mike McCarthy. But the head coach did comment on all six players on the PUP list, saying he had no long-term concerns with any of them. So take that for what you will. Sometimes I hear injured players overcompensate with one injured leg for another, and that's why the other can become injured. Whether that's what happened here or not, I don't know. Nelson didn't comment on that, but perhaps that's the case. But yeah, so learning a little bit more about why Jordy Nelson is on the PUP list, just kind of revealed in the past, you know, 24 hours or so. I think Nelson spoke to reporters after the first day of practice, which is when we learned that. And one last PUP list note, I know Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network revealed that center Corey Linsley has a hamstring injury, something that limited since the offseason program, although this is the first time we're learning specifically about what the nature of the injury is, since the team isn't required to release injury reports or comment on injuries during the offseason program. We still don't know how this hamstring injury initially happened or when it happened, but I'm hoping that Linsley has basically had months to recover now and will be back soon, because I think he missed all of OTAs, all of minicamp. I'm not sure he practiced at all. Maybe he did stretching or something like that, you know, when they were out on the field, but I think he was, you know, pretty much sidelined during individual and team drills, I believe. I was not there, so but maybe somebody could confirm that out there. In other off-field news, apparently neither Clay Matthews nor Julius Peppers has talked to the NFL about its PED investigation, despite reports for more than a month saying that they'd be interviewed on the first day of training camp. Both players, however, did address the matter with the media in multiple outlets. I read reports yesterday. They stood by the same claims they made months ago that this, you know, these allegations were not true that appeared in the Al Jazeera documentary. Apparently, they're awaiting decisions, awaiting direction from the NFL Players Association about how to proceed. I will say this. I think it's ridiculous that the NFLPA is balking at the NFL to even ask questions, to even have a discussion about the matter. That's all the NFL wants, is a discussion, to be able to talk to somebody. The specific allegations in regards to Matthews and Peppers may or may not be true. But I've said this before. The fact that a Major League Baseball player, Taylor Teagarden, was caught on camera and suspended by Major League Baseball gives this thing some legitimacy. All I'm saying is that the NFL should have the right to ask questions, to be able to approach somebody and talk to them. I'm not saying they have the right to suspend players willy-nilly without proof. I'm just saying they have the right to ask questions, and the fact that the NFLPA is balking at that is ridiculous, in my opinion. I'll end my rant there. And with that, let's finally talk about some of the action on the football field. We're talking about injuries. We're talking about interviews here. Let's talk about things that actually happened on the practice field. I thought the most interesting takeaway from the first training camp practice that, again, I saw from beat reporters and many of them touching on this on social media and things like that or in their reports, was that Quentin Rollins was working opposite Sam Shields as the starter at cornerback on the perimeter while Demaryius Randall was working in the slot. And maybe I should caution, this is just one practice, which doesn't necessarily indicate anything. But I do think this is interesting for a couple reasons. First of all, it's the opposite of last year when Randall worked almost exclusively on the perimeter and Rollins worked almost exclusively in the slot. And I think this is great for both players because I think they're both talented enough to handle both roles inside and outside. And very few cornerbacks can do that. We saw Charles Woodson could do that, but he was a Hall of Famer. And Tremont Williams was a good perimeter cornerback, but just kind of an average slot guy when they were forced there a few years ago to move him inside when they had some injuries. But we've seen plenty of other guys just be like one or the other. Sam Shields, he's a perimeter guy only. He's just not a physical presence to play on the inside. And then there's guys like Micah Hyde and Jarrett Bush that are pretty much just slot guys only. Micah Hyde, it's largely because of the speed, and Jarrett Bush just didn't have the feel, I think. He maybe had the speed, but he really didn't have that instinct to play on the perimeter cornerback position. And I think both Randall and Rollins are talented enough that they can do both. So, whether, Rollins ends up being the starter and Randall ends up being the slot guy, in today's day and age in the NFL, they can all play pretty much a majority of the time. Teams are, the base defense is essentially the nickel defense. It's the set that they employ the vast majority of the time, like over 80%, 85%, they're in nickel or even dime. So you need a lot of guys on the field. And, to tell you the truth, I think it's a case where when they go dime, I think both Randall and Rollins should be the team's slot guys, with maybe Shields and perhaps Ladarius Gunter on the outside. Again, I mean, injuries can play into that decision, and Micah Hyde certainly isn't going to concede that role at this point. But, if I were the coach, this is something I'd be looking at heavily right now, both Randall and Rollins being your slot guys in the dime, both of them shifting inside. But anyway, I just, again, that I thought was the most interesting takeaway from day one of training camp. I know I read Tom Silverstein's training camp report at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he had good things to say about both wide receivers, Trevor Davis and Jared Abradaris. And that was good to hear. I also saw that Abradaris and Randall Cobb worked on gaining strength in the offseason. Maybe even put on a few pounds, although it wasn't about gaining weight. It was about gaining strength for them in the report that I saw. And for quick little slot guys, I think that's a very good thing. Obviously there was a lot of attention on Eddie Lacy's weight, just being the first the first opportunity for people to see him in training camp or since the off-season program. But this might be the last we hear about it for a while, at least until games are played here, because, Lacy said he's tired of talking about it. Mike McCarthy said he's done about talking about it. I'm sick of this storyline as well at this point. Lacy did decline to tell reporters who asked about his weight, according to ESPN.com. So that always kind of leaves the door open to that question again, that will linger. But anyway, in terms of just news and notes and rather minor things, I literally saw, just minutes before, starting this show today, Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com reported that the Packers are bringing in rookie wide receiver DeAndre Cooper for a tryout today. He's from Colorado State Pueblo, and that's notable from the standpoint we talked about before, the Packers releasing two guys on the first day the players had to report to camp. So, it makes sense, actually, that they'd be trying out a wide receiver, because with both Nelson and Ty Montgomery on the PUP list to open camp, they could probably use a guy there, maybe on the offensive line as well with Lang and Lindsley being sidelined. So I would, again, here, I would anticipate the Packers, making a move here fairly quickly and getting some guys in camp, because, with five preseason games and family night on top of that, they're going to need bodies, just to get through camp. So guys like Jordy Nelson don't have to be out there when it comes to the preseason. Nobody wants to see that. Other than, when he's good and ready and only briefly at that. But that leads us to the next segment, the final one.
The day ahead.
Mike McCarthy just had his pre-practice press conference, so we won't hear from him again until tomorrow morning. There was nothing really revealing in this morning's presser, but McCarthy alluded to both Aaron Rodgers and Julius Peppers being on a pitch count of sorts. Rodgers, as far as limiting his reps in training camp, and in terms of that, it's more about getting Brett Hundley more of them. And especially that'll be the case, during the preseason when they don't want to play Rodgers and Hundley's going to get a lot of snaps. And Peppers, it's kind of about limiting his snaps during the regular season games, keeping him fresh for pass rushing duties while guys like Dayton Jones and Nick Perry play more of the typical rundowns. So, McCarthy addressed those issues that he hadn't really addressed, at least at length. In quite a while. So, there was that to talk about. But as far as the practice schedule goes, the Packers practice Wednesday. As the show is live, practice is currently going on. They practice Wednesday for the second of two consecutive practices without pads to open camp, kind of easing them back into action. And then the Packers hold their first padded practice of the season on Thursday, same time at 8:15 a.m. Central Time, local time. They then get their first day off on Friday, allowing their bodies to recover before the weekend that will include the annual family night practice on Sunday. So, that's the start of training camp, just to give you a schedule and where the Packers are at and what they're doing and what's on tap here over the next day and coming days. So, there you go. There's the day ahead, and that pretty much does it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. Thank you to Alex Patakis for being our guest on the show today, and we'll see you again typically every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, which is the live edition of the show at cheeseheadtv.com. It's also podcasted on demand later in the day. But my call to action is always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. That's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So do us a solid. Go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV. It'll pop right up. Give us that 5-star rating and a brief little review, because it helps us get word out about the show. People searching for Packers podcasts, they see that those reviews and they listen to it. And that's kind of my goal, getting a lot of letting Packers fans find the show. I think it's a service to them. But thank you for listening. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called, oh, if I can find it here. I had a song all queued up. I'll just play this here. Sirens by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go, Pack, go.